went there as a missionary way back in 1960, in the 60s, and I got to preach in the first church that he started in Japan. What an honor to see that church still growing and hundreds of people coming, and the Lord wonderfully blessed. And then they not only started the church there, but they started a college so they could train the Japanese preacher boys, and that's been going for years. I preached the commencements exercise. We were there for their conference that week, and I preached several times during the conference, and they had the Japanese preachers come, and they preached. We got to meet them. And you know, the most amazing thing, Pastor, was to be way over on the other side of the world and meet preachers and church members that believe the same thing we do, preach the same thing we do. And it was just a great honor to be there with those people. And the Lord just wonderfully blessed. We can't tell you all the things that happened on that mission trip. But the Lord was with us. God was good. And I know many of you prayed for us about that trip. And then they routed us back through Hawaii. And so it was my wife's birthday, and I thought, well, man, why don't we just stay here a day or two? You know, we didn't have any place to stay, and I couldn't afford to rent. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll stay in the airport, and then we'll go out, and, you know, we just, you know, we had tickets, so why not, you know, it's nice, airports, air-conditioned, we could sleep there on the whenever we wanted to. But anyway, I called up, somebody gave me a pastor's name. I had never met this preacher before, and I called him and asked him, I said, have you got a prophet's place, you know, where a preacher could, my wife and I would like to maybe stay a day or two. And he said, we do. And he said, it's just been remodeled, but he said, somebody's already beat you to it. There's already somebody there. The date that you want, you can't do it. I said, well, okay, well, that's all right. And he said, wait a minute, though. He said, I got a preacher friend. He's got a couple that keeps preachers when they come here and missionaries. They have a private interest and all that. And he said, here's his telephone number. Call him and tell him I said to call. So I called him up and asked him about it. And he, too, said, well, I'll check. And then I'll call you back. Well, I really didn't expect him to call me back. But he did. He called me back and he said, preacher, I'm sorry. He said, my family that keeps missionaries and all that in their home. And then he began to tell me how beautiful it was and all that. But he said, I'm sorry. You know, you won't be able to stay there. And I said, well, you know, that's okay. Well, thank you. And just as I started to hang up, he said, hold it, just a minute. He said, wait a minute. He said, just come on. And he said, not only that, but he said, I want you to preach for me on Wednesday night. I had never met this man. He had never talked to me before on the phone or anywhere else. He had no idea who I was. But he told me later, he said, the moment I started to hang up, he said, as clear as a bell, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't hang up. Get that man over here. And he said, I obeyed the Lord. And so he picked me up to the airport, him and his assistant pastor and my wife and I. And he said, now, I want you to preach for me tonight. And they had started, they had what they call ROM. They minister to the homeless. There's lots of homeless people in Hawaii. You know, the beaches are full of them, really. And it's nice weather, you know. And, of course, most of the beaches have parks, and they have restrooms and showers. And so these homeless people just hang out there. Well, what this pastor and his church do on Sunday afternoon, they get a lot of food together, sandwiches and all, and they go out to these places, and they preach to them and feed them. And then they work on, they're all alcohol. Most of them are drug addicts, alcoholics and all this. And so they do that. Well, they have a tremendous ministry. So he said, now you'll preach at 6 o'clock on Wednesday evening to them. And I thought it'd be just a little group, you know. Wow, the building was full. And, you know, men and women and all. And most of them had trusted the Lord as their Savior. And they liked to preach me to death. I started out hollering and screaming, you know, all over. And then I preached that night. And then he said to me, he got up in front of the church and announced. He said, you know, we haven't had a mission conference. And I've been praying for a missions conference. And he said, the Lord's answered my prayer. He sent a missionary here, free of charge, he said. And he said, I won't even have to pay his airplane bill. And he said, why don't we have a missionary? He said, can you stay a few days and preach for us? I said, yeah, sure. Amen. So we stayed about a week, and oh, my. They took us on for support. It was just a tremendous. His name is Kevin Akana. Akana. He's a Hawaiian. He's actually a hula dancer, been converted. And if you ever go to Hawaii, there on Waikiki Beach, one of the main hotels, they have a statue of him there, you know, of him standing up, you know, and he said, don't you go to that hotel. I mean, don't you. I said, I'm going to go take a picture of it. I want to show people back home about it. But anyway, we had a great time. And the Lord just wonderfully blessed us while we were there. And, you know, when God works things out, it works a lot better when Bob Jones works it out. I'll tell you that right now. And the Lord was in all of that from beginning to the end, and just a wonderful time. Now, I want you to pray for us. Lord willing, Mrs. Jones and I, not quite sure if she's going to go or not. We'll just see how the Lord works it out. But we're scheduled to leave for Guyana, Georgetown, Guyana. We're scheduled to leave on June the 17th, be there for 2 weeks. And then we're to fly back, and then we get back on Friday, and the following Monday, we're scheduled in to fly to Dublin, Ireland. They've invited us to come back to Ireland, and they're going to be there for a month preaching in Ireland. Well, actually, 2 weeks in Ireland. And then the pastor there in Ireland has lined it up for my wife and I to go to England, London, England, Spurgeon territory. And he's lined it up for us to teach the Trail of Blood in London, England. Isn't that something? Oh, boy, what an opportunity God has opened up for us there to go and teach and preach. And so lots of things, but pray for us. My wife and I live by faith. We don't know from 1 month to the next what our income will be, what I'll take care of it. But the Lord, of course, you can see we haven't starved to death. The Lord takes care of us, and we just live by faith. We were on the, you know, I have passed out enough tracts, you know, on these turnpikes, you know, they have the toll booths and all. I passed out enough tracts in these toll booths and all that for them to wallpaper inside. I mean, you know, they could take the tracts and wallpaper them from here all the way to West Virginia and Ohio, Pennsylvania, and all through that. The other day, we was on the West Virginia turnpike, and I miscalculated. I thought I had enough money for the toll roads, and the last one was $3. And my wife and I began to count up, and we had $2.50. And my wife panicked. What are we going to do? She said, well, there's no roads. Get off of this thing. And, well, you know, they may arrest us. I don't know. I said, well, we'll just trust the Lord. So I'm fiddling around. We pulled up to the toll gate. And I'm fiddling around here trying to find, see if there was still a little change in that. I found a postage stamp. And so I thought, well, you know, I pulled out my postage stamp. And I said to the guy, I said, man, look. I said, I've got $2.50 and a postage stamp, which is almost equal. You know, by the time you let it lay around a little bit, it'll be worth 50 cents. He began to laugh. He'd like to crack that guy up. He said, I can't believe this. I said, it's the truth, brother. And he said, I'll tell you what. I'll just take your $2.50. You get, no, sir. I said, you're taking the postage stamp. He took the postage stamp. And so I paid my way on the turnpike with the postage stamp. But anyway, God had blessed and all of that. So I started to tell you, we make these trips, but we pay our way from the beginning all the way. And when we're there, we pay for the missionaries, whatever expense they may be, eating, food, all of that. Well, we certainly wouldn't want to go to a mission field and then charge the missionary. You know, they have it rough enough without somebody else coming in. So, and we just say, Lord, if it's your will, you want us to go. Then you'll provide the necessary funds. And if you don't want us to go, then we won't. And so, as God opens up, as God does, so you just pray with us about those trips. They're great doors. They tell me the Joneses don't go over too good in Guyana. I don't know. You remember, that's where Jim Jones made his great stand, was there in Guyana. And I don't know. I might change my name if I go to Guyana and all of that. But, hey, these are great days, aren't they? Great days to preach the gospel, great days to get the word of God out, and certainly the Lord has opened up many, many doors. In all of my farthest dreams, I never dreamed that God would open up the doors that he's opened up for my wife and I around the world to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are tonight. It's just great to be with you. Open your Bible to the Gospel of John. There's a microphone. Which one? Any of these microphones? All right, okay. Take any. Make sure they're on. This is number 3. Does that mean anything? Nope, I didn't think it did. All right, while you're turning there, we'll sing a verse or two of an old hymn. This is a quartet song. When the Savior reached down for me.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Amen.
Now my heart does rejoice since I made Him my choice. In the tempest, to Him I then flee, there to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me.
Amen. Amen. The other night, my wife and I was in the Chicago airport, and, you know, they had those big stretch limousines coming by, and different diplomat people was, you know, they were getting on and all getting in the cars and all. So I said to my wife, I said, you know, I got one of those coming after me one of these days. She said, you do? Where? I said, well, when the Lord gets ready. I said, He's going to send down one of those fiery chariots, those stretch chariots. And He's going to pull right up in front of me, and He's going to say, get on board, Bob. Time for you to go home. And He's going to take me right on in to glory. And the angels will be in control as they swoop down with that fiery chariot. And if you're saved tonight, you're going to experience the same thing. The angels will be there to take us home. Amen? Here's a beautiful song. I sing it quite often at funerals. I sang it not too long ago at my sister's funeral. Serenaded by Angels. She went to sleep one night, never here to awake again. But everything was all right between her and him. So she awoke in heaven's courtyard, free from pain within. The angels gathered round her, and they took her by the hand,
serenaded by angels up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise, the angels will sing. So I close my eyes at night, and I try to imagine that city of brilliant light waiting for me. But my mind cannot conceive, so I'll continue to dream till I'm transported there, and then I will be serenaded by angels up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise, the angels will sing. Serenaded by angels up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praises to the King. Welcome to paradise, the angels will sing. Welcome to paradise, the angels will sing, serenaded by angels.
Amen. Amen. All right, your Bibles are open to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Let's stand, please, if you will, for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. We were blessed. The main reason for us being up here was for Billy Weir's wedding last night, and it was such a beautiful ceremony. Many of you were there, and you agree, I'm sure, with me that was a special blessing, wasn't it? And we're praying for that couple, that God will just be with them and just use them in a marvelous way, and I believe he's going to. I really believe God has his hand on that, folks. And we're glad we got to be a part of that. I could have been a 10 buck too, but the Lord worked it out so we could be here and be a part of that. All right, tonight our lesson, John chapter 14, familiar passage of Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Well, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice the phrase, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. I want to speak a few minutes tonight on the subject, why we should not have a troubled heart. Why we should not have a troubled heart. Father, bless the message. Speak to our hearts here this evening. Thy will be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. Be seated. You have a troubled heart? Looking at many faces here this evening, I say that you do. I think all of us, sometime or other in life, we have that time that comes when our hearts are troubled. We don't know exactly what to do, which way to turn, what's going to take place next. And I'm thankful that God put in His Word comfort in a time of need. Now get the picture here. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet. Supper has been ended. He's instituted the Lord's Supper. And now they have left the place where they were giving the ceremony, and they're walking toward the Garden of Gethsemane. The evening had had a number of discouragements up to this point for the apostles and those that were around the Lord. The apostles had argued among themselves as to who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And it was now revealed that one of them was going to betray our Lord, and they were puzzled about it. They had been told that all of them would desert him before the night was over. And then, shock of shocks, Peter was told, "You're going to deny me, Peter. Before that cock crows tomorrow, you'll deny me three times." "Not me. Not me, Lord." "Oh, yeah, you. You'll do it." And the fact of Jesus' death was brought to their minds several times this evening. And they just didn't seem to get it. They didn't understand. They were all upset. These men, as they walk along, are very confused about what's taking place. And so it was at this point that Jesus comforted the hearts of the apostles and, as far as that go, all of us here tonight, all believers, with the wonderful words of John chapter 14. Although their hearts were troubled, He gave them a number of wonderful promises to calm their troubled heart. You got a pencil? You might want to jot these down. You might need this someday. But notice, first of all, the first thing and the first reason we should not have a troubled heart in verse 1. He said, "You believe in God? Believe also in me." So belief in Christ, the Son of God, in itself helps us to not have a troubled heart, to know that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all one. Another reason for not having a troubled heart, verse 2. He said, "I'm going to go prepare a place for you. Life here will be short, but one day this life will be over. Ah, but it's not the end for you. I'm going to prepare a place for you in heaven." Anyone here tonight have a troubled heart? You're saved? I got news for you. There's a mansion waiting in glory for you when this life is over. And then down in verse 3, Jesus said again to comfort their heart, He said, "One of these days," He said, "I'll leave, but one of these days I'm going to come back, and I'll get you, and I'll take you to where I am. There you may be also." Wow. Boy, that ought to cheer us up tonight, shouldn't it? To know that one day our Lord will return and we'll be with Him in heaven forever and forever. Then look down in verse 12. Boy, is this comforting here. In verse 12, He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also." And get this, "and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So now they were to do the works of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you involved in this work here? Well, you'll have a troubled heart, friend, if you don't get involved. You need to get involved in this church. Get involved in the work of the Lord. Get involved. The Lord said, get involved in my work, preaching, teaching, baptizing, getting people saved, working around the building here, doing things for the Lord. That's the kind of people that do not have a troubled heart. Then in verse 13, He said this. He said, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my Father's name, that will I do." My goodness. If you're troubled tonight, just remember our prayers. Our prayers would be answered. Prayer, if you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, He said, "I'll answer your prayer." You can't beat a promise like that, can you? This is tremendous. I mean, it just cheers us up to know that. And then in verse 16, down in verse 16 of this chapter, He said this. He said, "And I will pray the Father, He shall give you another comforter, that He may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit, he said, will come. And that Holy Spirit will comfort you in your darkest hour, in your lowest ebb of life. Holy Spirit will be right there with you. You all have experienced that, haven't you? Been in a hospital. You've had surgery. You've had all of those things happen to you. And you felt like, boy, this is it. The world has caved in on me. But the Holy Spirit was there. Lifted you up. Gave you that grace. Gave you that strength that you needed. Just at that hour. Just at that hour. He never fails. The Lord is with us. Holy Spirit. And then down in verse 21. Look at this. He said in verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You know something? The love of God the Father and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, would be upon us. Aren't you glad somebody loves you? Huh? You ever get to the place you think, nobody loves me, nobody cares for me? Even the old dog don't like me anymore. Did you ever get that low? Huh? Huh? You've been there, haven't you? But here's the thing. He said, my Father and I love you. Oh, I'm glad to know tonight somebody loves me. Somebody cares for me. No matter what happens to me, there's somebody there that takes care of me and loves me. And then he said in verse 26, listen to this. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. The Holy Spirit tonight will teach you. If you'll read your Bible every day, if you'll pray, if you'll seek God's will in your life, the Holy Spirit that abides in every believer will teach you. You say, I don't know a thing about the Bible. Well, here's a way to learn. The Holy Spirit is the teacher. He teaches us and he brings these truths to our mind and he helps us to understand the things that happen to us in life. And then verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace. It's different than the world's peace. I'll tell you that right now, my friend. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. To have the peace of God. Somebody said it's nice to have a peace of God's peace. Isn't that great? It'd be great to have a peace of the peace of God. Hey, let me ask you something. Do you think God's up in heaven tonight wringing his hands and just, oh, my goodness, look what a mess. What am I going to do? You think that's our Father? He's at peace. I mean, our Heavenly Father is at serene peace. And he said, you can have that. I've had people give me a lot of things in this life. Suit I got on, somebody gave me. Tie I've got on, somebody gave me. Shirts I got on. Shoes. I've had people give me cars. I can't tell you all the things that people have given me, but listen to this. No one has ever given me peace. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only. The world says, oh, this will work. No, it won't. The world says, well, try this. It won't work. Well, the world says, grab a hold of it. It won't work, I tell you. Only the peace of Jesus Christ. That's the peace. And he said, I'll give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled. But I want us to go back, and we'll not take very long, but I want us to look at the first four things in this passage of Scripture, and we'll look at it real quickly. And this, of course, was the Lord Jesus speaking, and he said, I don't want your hearts to be troubled, but there's four main things right here at the beginning that I want us to look at real quickly. Why we should not have a troubled heart. Number one, first of all, because of belief in Christ, the Son of God. Now listen to me. You'll have a troubled heart if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You're here tonight and you're lost. I'll guarantee you, your heart will be troubled from now on until you get that settled, until Jesus Christ comes into your heart. You'll have a troubled heart. Now, who is he? Who is this Jesus that he's speaking about here? Well, listen. Jesus said, you believe in God, then believe in me. And so he, Jesus, the Son of God, he is God's Son, right? But wait a minute, he's also God the Son. He's the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. Isn't that great? I mean, when you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to God. I mean, he's God. And what did he do? Oh, glad you asked. He's the creator of the earth, huh? What a earth we live in. I've been around it I don't know how many times. I preach in all, I don't know how many different countries. I lost track. It's so complex. This world is so complex. Did you know everything you see, just looking in this building, everything you see, and everything you see when you go out of this building tonight, it came out of this earth, the minerals, the seat you live in, that you're sitting on. It was created out of the earth. God, in his great wisdom, when he said and spoke the earth into existence, everything that we have today, God supplied the earth to do it. Came out of the dust. Everything you've got, your clothes, me, you, all it came out of the dust of the earth. You telling me that ain't marvelous? He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I created it. I created the heavens. I take care of the heavens. What about the creator of the earth? And what about the sea? He created the sea. We get in an airplane, leave out of either Atlanta or Detroit, and fly 14 hours. And almost from the time you leave till the time the plane sets down, most of the time you're over water. I mean, it just, and that thing's going 600 miles an hour. And fly 15 hours, and all the time, nothing under you but water, the sea. It's marvelous. I served aboard a United States submarine, and I remember one night I was passing the sonar shack. It's just a little bitty room, didn't have much room on the submarine. And just as I passed by, he said, "Hey, Jonesy, come in here." So, sonar man was on duty, and I stepped in. He said, "What?" I said, "What's up?" He said, "I'm going to tell you something." He said, "Look here," and he's taking a sounding. He said, right where we are right now, we was out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. He said, right where we are right now, it's 7 miles deep. Wow. You know, I was a little shaky, even though I was in a submarine, but I thought, 7 miles deep? What if this thing sinks? I mean, and it doesn't come up. You know, we sunk submarines several times, but most of the time they'd come up. But I thought, what if it don't come up? 7 miles deep? Wow. That's a lot of water. Amen? A lot of water. I begin to think, Mount Everest is the highest mountain in the world. That mountain is 6 miles high. And I thought the other day, when the Lord saved me, according to the Psalm and according to the prophets, when the Lord saved me, he took all of my sins and dropped them into the deepest ocean, never to be remembered against us anymore. You've read that, haven't you? When we get saved, he takes all of our sins, past, present, future, and drops them into the deepest ocean, never to be remembered. Now remember, suppose my sins had mounted up as high as Mount Everest. It'd be a lot of sins, 6 miles high. It'd be a lot of sins, wouldn't it? And when I trusted the Lord as my Savior back in April 20th, 1949, he dropped all of my sins into the deepest ocean. And if he had dropped them in where that place where that submarine was, my sins, although they had mounted up as high as 6 miles, they would still be 1 mile underneath the ocean. Ain't that marvelous? Oh, I like that. I like that kind of thinking, don't you? Oh, yeah, my sins. And he's the creator of it. Hey, how about the universe? Trillions and trillions and trillions and trillions of stars. You ever been to the Creation Museum? How many of you have been to Creation Museum? Wow, I love, my wife and I have been there, I don't know how many times. And my favorite place is the planetarium. You like the planetarium? I love the planetarium. You know, you look there and they see all those stars and they begin to tell you about this and that and all of that. And just amazing. Trillions and trillions. They can't count them. They can't count the stars. And they start telling about the Milky Way. And they said, well, we can't count all the stars that are in the Milky Way. And then they said, there's so many Milky Ways, we can't count them either. There's no computer, there's no adding machine that can count the Milky Ways, and they can't even count one of them, how many stars is in one Milky Way. What a vast universe it is. Who did it? Jesus. He said, you believe in God? Don't you have a troubled heart? Don't you have a troubled heart? If I can do that, can I take care of you? Can I watch over you? Yeah, sure you can, Lord. Oh, what did he do? I tell you what he did. He lived a perfect life, something you and I would never be able to do. What did he do? He paid for all of our sins. What did he do? He died. He was buried, rose again for our sins. Amen. And thank God today, my sins are gone. I've been forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. Number two, let not your heart be troubled. Why? Because of that beautiful home in heaven. In verse 2, he said, in my Father's house, many mansions. Psalm 23, the Bible says there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, here's twins that follow you everywhere you go. Surely, goodness, mercy shall follow you. Just look behind you anytime you want to, and there'll be goodness. There'll be mercy. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And get this, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Tell me. Forever. Forever. And he said, in my Father's house are many mansions. One of them's yours, Jonesy. One of them's yours, Bob. I've got a mansion in heaven waiting me tonight. So do you. Don't you have a troubled heart. When you've got a mansion waiting for you in glory land, you know, we've got a lot of beautiful places here in America, don't we? You ever been to the Biltmore in Ashland, North Carolina? How many of you been to the Biltmore? Anyway, some of you have. It's an amazing place, isn't it? 250-room mansion. I mean, who would want a house that big? I mean, man, 250 rooms. What a place. I've stayed in a lot of nice homes across this country. A lot of nice places. Just recently, just a few weeks ago, my wife and I were in a missions conference in Columbus, Ohio. And there, when they have the missions conference, they always appoint somebody, a family in the church, to be your host. And boy, as soon as you land into that church, the host is there to meet you, and they take you, and they keep you, and they make sure everything's all right. So this couple chose Mrs. Jones and I to stay in their home. And, man, we drove out. It was something. And so we got there, and they showed us through that big, beautiful house that they had and guest room and all. And then they said, now, you bring your stuff, and you put them in here in the master bedroom. I said, no, we'll stay in the guest room. Nope, no. You're going to stay in the master bedroom, our bedroom. Wow, what a place. I mean, it was a big room. And shower. I mean, shower had water squirting out every way. I mean, that thing just blowed water all over you. I never had a shower like that before. I mean, just water everywhere. And that night, Mrs. Jones and I, we do this every night. By the way, in Billy's card, I put a little note in there. And I said, Billy, I said, I don't want to tell you what to do. And I said, this is what my father-in-law told me. When I got married, my father-in-law, Hefford Overby, came running out to the car just as Sue and I getting ready to leave, go on our honeymoon. He come running out. Bob. And I thought, I rolled him. Yeah, Dad, what's wrong? He said, I want to tell you something. Yeah, what? He said, now I don't want to tell you what to do. My father-in-law was real, when he said something, you know, it was pretty loud. And he said, I don't want to tell you what to do, but, said, when Mrs. Overby and I got to the place where we was going to spend our first night, said, we got down on our knees and had prayer and read the first chapter of Genesis. And then he walked away and said, see ya. Sue and I got to the first place where we was going to spend. We took his advice. We got down on our bed. We read the first chapter of Genesis, had prayer together. We've been doing that ever since. I told Billy that in the car. Maybe he'll do that. But anyway, we're at this house. And the bed was so plush, man. We were down on our knees. I just sunk down in that bed as I'm praying. And thanking the Lord for all of his goodness. And when I did, the Holy Spirit reminded me, just like a light bulb, I hadn't thought of this in 35 years. I had not even crossed my mind. And the Holy Spirit said, remember what I did for you back there many years ago when you was first in evangelism and you started out? And it all came to me. I went to this church up in Illinois. And it was on Friday night. I'm going to have a weekend meeting. And so I got to the pastor's house. The pastor said, we got a family that wants you to stay in their house. They're going to keep you. Follow me, and I'll take you over there. I said, okay. So we drove in this nice subdivision, drove down this nice street, and he pulled into this nice home, and they had a garage attached and all, real nice place. He said, go on in. They're waiting for you. We'll see you tonight at church. So I went in and knocked on the door, and the lady came in. I said, I'm the missionary. I'm an evangelist. And the pastor says, oh, yeah. She said, yeah, we got a place for you. And I said, great. And I started to go, no. She said, we got you a place out here in the garage. Garage? Yeah, out here in the garage. So I went out to the garage, and she took me in the side door. They had this old army bunk. And the springs, you know, those old army bunks. You remember those springs? Springs on the, they were all loose. Mattress just sagged down the middle, that old army bunk. Over in the corner was a commode. I thought I was in jail. I mean, really. Over in the corner was a commode, and there was a little, you know, there was a pipe come out in the middle of this garage where I could take a shower. And this lady said, this is it. This is where you're going to stay. And I didn't say anything. I said, okay, all right. And so first thing I did, there was a cat in there. And its litter box was right at the end of this bed. First thing I did was take the litter box and tossed it out. The next thing I did was took the cat and boom, out he went too. Then they had a closet door. That's where the guy kept his tools or something. So I took the hinges and I took them off that door, and I took that door and I laid that thing flat on that army bunk. Then I laid the mattress on top. You know, it quit sagging. Pretty good bed. I never could figure out why they did this. I really couldn't. Here they had a nice home inside. I mean, they didn't even have sheets. I always carry sheets with me, extra sheets. They didn't have sheets. They didn't have towels. They didn't have anything. I didn't even tell the pastor. And you know what? Honest truth. This is the honest truth. It didn't bother me one bit. I didn't even tell my wife. In fact, when we were praying there, when we said amen, that's when I told her this story. And I'd never even mentioned it to her. I went home that, you know, it didn't bother me. Hey, as long as you let me preach, I'll stay anyway. Just give me a chance to preach, brother. That's all I've ever wanted to do for the last 51 years is just preach. That was some meeting. The pastor's wife, I remember on Sunday morning after I got through preaching, she came up to me and she said, you want to know what I think of your sermons? I said, what? And she said, this is what I think of your sermon. And she went, and she rammed her tongue out about that far. I'm telling you, I've never gotten over exactly why they wanted, you know, they even asked me to come. But I was praying. And there in that place, the Holy Spirit said, remember what I did for you back there? And I told you then, if you'd just be faithful to me, and if you'd keep on preaching and be a servant of mine, I'd take care of you. Hey, ain't God good? Ain't God good tonight, huh? Oh, yes, he is, my friend. I'm telling you, a beautiful home in heaven waiting me. Yes, what kind of place is heaven? Oh, we ain't got time to go into it. There's no more sorrow in heaven. There's no more sea. Wonder why there's no more sea in heaven? Why, we know why, right? Because that's where he dumps all of our sins. And the Bible says in heaven, there won't be any sin up there. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, there is no more sea in heaven. No wonder there's no more sea. All of our sins are in the sea. That's just Jones theology. I don't know where I got that, but it sounds good. Amen. That sounds all right. Okay, I'm just saying, hey, a beautiful home in heaven. Why have a troubled heart when we got a home in heaven waiting for us? Number three, why have a troubled heart? Why not? Because of the beginning of the second coming. In verse 3, this is our hope. Listen to this. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he said. In verse 3, he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Brother, that's a promise. Keep your eye on the eastern sky. Jesus is coming again. Amen. And we're going to dwell in heaven forever and forever. This is a sure hope of a Christian. It's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming back and going to take us out of this wicked world. Don't you have a troubled heart tonight? I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, when I die, I said, and if my body's, if it's possible, and they opened a casket. I said, put a fork in my hand. Put a fork in your hand. My wife said, why? I said, well, one time I was down in West Tennessee preaching. Went home with this old couple. And I said, that woman had a big pot of soup beans on the table. And she had a bowl of fried taters. And a big pone of cornbread. And she had corn on the cob. She had a green salad. She had pork chops fried just like I like them. Oh, what a meal. And when we got through eating, she come around, you know, and took the plates up. And she said, Brother Jones, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. And guess what was next? Banana pudding. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep your fork. The best is yet to come. I said, when people come around and look at me, and they'll say to you, how come you got that fork in Bob's hand? Bob's holding that fork. You just tell them. Bob said, keep your fork. The best is yet to come. Heaven? Huh? Are you with me? You're going, ain't you? You're going? Oh, yeah, brothers and sisters, and the trumpet of God will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first. You heard me say this. Baptists will be first in heaven. Right? You agree? I mean, I got scripture. I got proof that Baptists will be first in heaven. I know others are going. If you're Catholic, Methodist, whatever you are, if you're born again, you're going to heaven tonight. But I got news for you. Baptists will be first. The text says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Do you know of a deader group on the face of the earth tonight than Baptists? Again, Jones theology, but I just thought I'd throw that in, all right? All right, the Lord's coming, the beginning. Oh, what a day that'll be when Jesus comes. Last of all, why have a troubled heart? Because the Bible way to heaven, you know. We know the way to heaven. I challenge you. Pick any street right here around this church. Go up and down, knock on the door and say, sir, could you tell me, in your own words, what you think a person has to do to go to heaven? Just ask. You know what they'll tell you? Well, do the best you can. Live a good life. Try to obey the commands. They don't know the way to heaven. Anywhere you go. But we do. We know the way to heaven. Aren't you thankful tonight that God has revealed to you and me there's only one way to heaven? Somebody told me one time, said, well, preacher, I think going to heaven is like going to Chicago. You know, all roads lead to Chicago. I said, there's one thing wrong with that. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. Just one way to heaven. If you go to heaven tonight, you have to go through Jesus Christ, or you'll never make it, brothers and sisters. He is the way. He died on the cross. He was buried, rose again, that we could have eternal life. He's the way. We know the way. I can tell people on planes. I can tell people in gas stations. I can tell people in grocery stores. I can tell people in Walmart. I can tell people up and down the streets. Hey, I can tell you the exact way to go to heaven. You don't have to think or hope or guess or maybe. Brother, you can know that when you die and when this life is over, you'll be in heaven with Jesus Christ forever and forever. Aren't you glad you know the way tonight? Aren't you glad tonight you're saved? Don't have a troubled heart. Ask the Lord to help you. Let's stand to our feet for a moment. Pastor will be here at the front. We're going to sing in just a minute. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nah, we've had a good time, haven't we? Just thinking about the goodness of God. Thinking about how the Lord comforts us in our deepest hour. Don't have a troubled heart. Don't have a troubled heart. Yes, but my bill payments. Don't have a troubled heart. Trust in the Lord. Yes, preacher, but I'm sick. Yes, but just keep trusting in the Lord. Don't have a troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled over the circumstances around us tonight. Don't be troubled over the things that are happening. Don't let that bother you. You just keep on serving God. You just keep on being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you give up. God will bless you. He'll see you through. Tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you've never received Christ as Savior, right where you stand, take your place as a sinner. Realize you can't save yourself. And right this moment, turn from your sins. Put your trust in Christ. He'll save you, and he'll save you here. Walk down this aisle. Take the preacher by the hand. Here tonight, publicly, profess your faith in Christ. You may not understand. We've got people here tonight that'll pray with you. We've got folks here tonight that'll deal with you, help you any way we can. As a Christian, is everything all right? Do you need to move your membership here at this church? Do you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism? Or are you just backslidden and away from the Lord? Why not move up tonight? Why not get things right? Could you do that? Does the Holy Spirit speak to your heart this evening? Whatever the Lord would have you do, we want you to do that. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that you'll help us to leave here without having a troubled heart. Help us to leave here tonight trusting and believing in you and being thankful for all your blessings. Speak to that heart, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we sing, brother, what number?
Number 267.
267. On that very first verse, and God speaks to your heart. Come, while we wait, 267. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, maybe you just need to come to this altar tonight and pray. Whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, do it while we sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is there.
One more verse while we sing.
Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Oh, sing it now.
Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Pastor, service is yours. God bless you.
Let's sing one more verse. If you need to respond, you come on this final verse.
Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very. Sorrow and